gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Oh, is Mama on the YouTubes up there, Christopher?
Yes, indeed.
I was on with David Schuster, who makes me giggly for the first time yesterday on MSNBC. And that little, well, the right-wing zygote. What's his name?
Ben Ferguson.
Yeah, that guy.
The 12-year-old with the bad comb-over.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like Mrs. Robinson. For some reason, they always pair us on those left-right things.
Why is that? You've been paired with him more times than anyone else. Maybe he says yes.
Am I supposed to diaper him? What am I supposed to do?
Maybe he says yes as many times as you do, so that's why.
It's just because I can tell it's going to be him because the minute I start talking, God, it's like having a toddler. All right.
You know what, though? We met him. He was in the booth next door to us at the GOP convention, remember?
Yes,
and
yes.
He was actually quite nice when you get him away from a microphone.
Yes, I know. He seemed kind of cute and nervous around me.
He did. Like he wanted to date you. That hot liberal chick.
Ew. All right. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com as well. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Warder, me Stephanie Miller, like Julie did. Oh, look, it's some listener comedy. Steph, seriously, who the F is Fred Thompson to publish his memoirs? Yeah, that's going to be scintillating. The Fred Thompson book on tape. The world needs the Stephanie Miller story, since you can barely manage a tweet every 3 days. Oh, that's exaggerating. I will, of course, have to ghostwrite it. Give me 90 days, just like P90X, a few drunken interviews, and you'll have an opus manuscript that will put you up to number 22 on the talker's list in no time. Imagine this page-turner, a gripping tale of your scrappy wolf childhood in a hostile Republican environment, the slutty high school years running loose with the pizza airs up the transit, the booze and dope years careening to the top of cable TV stardom and back down again, and finally your late-life triumph of radio host and wanton media whoring. I wrote two silhouette romances back in the 80s, so you can rely on the titillating yet dignified scenes sympathetically depicting French kissing your newfies and binge drinking. I won't judge. Julie in Seattle. Thank you, Julie.
She wrote for silhouette romances?
Own. Apparently.
Wow.
Perfect for the love story that is me and my doggies, Max and Fred. Oh.
Max, Fred.
Oh. By the way, you know, I have a hard time operating anything, what's the word, Chris? You know, technical.
Electronic.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend yesterday. She goes, I wish you knew how to take pictures. Because I'm a little, because I was saying that Central Park looks seriously like a little snow globe. It's off the hook beautiful. And the dogs are going crazy in the snow. And so there was a guy with a camera that started taking pictures of Max and Fred. And I was like, could you send those to me?
Oh, Stephanie.
And he said he would. He seemed a little drunk, so we'll see if they show up. But if they do, I'll put them up on StephanieMiller.com. He took some pictures of me and Max and Fred in the park with the dogs.
Aw, that's cute.
Oh, and then, as things do in my life, Chris, there's always an incident. Something goes awry.
What happened?
Max peed on a kid's snowman. And the mother was not. The mother was like, wow! I was like, oh, I am... Because Max is like the size of a Clydesdale. He's like one of those, you know, the horses in Central Park.
I know, I've been knocked over by him.
Well, exactly. Anyway, I apologize. I'm like, sorry. Can't you just, you can put more snow on it, can't you?
Once it's been peed on. No, it's ruined once it's been peed on.
That's me making children cry in Central Park. That's my job. I'm like, I am so sorry. Max! Oh, it's not as bad as my nephew took them out to the park a few days ago, and he told this story that Max, as soon as he got into the off-leash area, some woman had left her backpack on the ground, which right away is her fault, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
She left her backpack open, and so Max proceeded to pee in it immediately.
Oh.
And my nephew started panicking and, oh, no, hurry up and, like, you know, shoot everybody away from the scene of the crime because she wasn't right there. So then they were all playing in the off-leash. And he said, literally, when they were leaving, he and Max and Fred are walking out of the... And he, right at that very moment, the woman's like, someone peed in my backpack! And yeah,
were there witnesses?
Scooted. And apparently not. Apparently they were able to exit the scene of the crime immediately.
Good God.
And there was no... All right. Listen, it's
I'm
a boy dog. They mark. They have to mark things.
I'm glad
All
I
right,
don't have
my,
a dog.
Pardon me?
I'm glad I don't have a dog. Cats don't do that.
My day yesterday in the beautiful snow globe of Central Park ended, as it always does, Chris, with poo. As you know, in this case, yet my 1,000th fecal sample. This is what my life consists of. It is all somehow it revolves around poo, or things in my life turning to. But mostly, this was now Fred's third fecal sample, which, by the way, just FYI, cost $80. Every time you get it, that's my third time I've had to have a fecal sample tested because.
Lab work, even for humans, can be very, very expensive.
Yes. Well, here in Calcutta, where I've moved, he first got Giardia, which, okay, that I cured, and then he had some other overgrown bacteria.
Whatever.
Something stressed out because mommy was gone in L.A. Something. Anyway, so then he had some other powder medicine that cost $1 million. And then this was his third fecal sample, and everything is good now. Yeah. So we was yeah. That's what I do. I wait at home for the vet to call about the results of the fecal sample. That's pretty much my life here. Just saying, it was clear though. It was good.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yes.
Happy ending.
Yes. Yes. Oh, this is. I mean, normally I don't grace you with two poo stories in one.
Okay.
In one segment, but I almost had a gastrointestinal event on the way to work. Have you ever been? Okay, so you know the cab. Sometimes takes the really long way, and you're like, really? The quickest way to the theater district from the Upper West Side is Brooklyn? Seriously? Okay. If you, so it took, anyway, a very long time, but everything is, everything's fine now. But it was, let me just say, the longest cab ride of my life.
What?
But I'm fine now.
Okay, so where does the gastrointestinal distress come in?
I had to get to work. I was having an event of some sort. I was just saying, this was the cab that picked going through. I'm not really sure where. I think we went through parts of West Virginia to get to the theater district in New York. But here I am. I made it, and I'm.
And you were able to do your business? Not in your pants?
Well, you know, it was close. All right. You know what? That's sexy talk, so it must be Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Good morning, Hal. Aren't you hot?
Oh, I totally am. You know, this is the kind of intro and welcome I'm used to getting by my opener at a stand-up club. You know what I mean?
Poo jokes.
Hey, let's see what the local guys got. Yeah.
And now here's Hal Sparks.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks. Thanks for setting the bar really high. So that
cab driver and poo jokes. Here we go.
By making smart jokes, I seem like a jerk. That's good.
Wait, I think I've explained that, how the show has pretty much degraded into a whole, like, 80s, really stale 80s comedy routine, the difference between New York and L.A. and Dogs and Cats.
Right, yes, which
that's
is why
much
yeah, which is why I've been added to 3 hours on Wednesday, just to protect against that continued slide.
Yeah, oh, and I throw in tampon jokes sometimes.
Oh,
so,
well,
you know.
That's, you know, it's those actually don't work with me, because I'm one of the guys who, when I used to hear jokes about guys going, hey, guys, you hate to buy those things? Don't you hate to buy those things? I went, no, not really.
And you're like, no, and whatever gets me laid.
Yeah, right. And precisely. And I don't think there's anyone who's genuinely thinking, wow, those are for him. If I was to be embarrassed by that, I'm also sharing in their stupidity. There's no way mechanically that works. If at any point the guy goes, hey, you're buying those for yourself? Like, okay, clearly you need a class. Do I have to talk to your parents about how anatomy works? Is that what happened? Wow.
Shocking. Exactly. Real men, you know that gets you closer to bouching about.
Absolutely.
So, there
you
go. Yeah. All right.
No issue whatsoever. Sorry, I was raised by my mom and my sister for the most part, at home. So there's nothing. Your conversation this morning didn't shock me or dissuade me at all. So
thank
fear
you.
Not. Yes, absolutely.
I knew it would make you hot.
Yeah.
So, Hal,
yes.
You know, I count on you to be my, to bring me, you're my happy place.
Sure.
You and Joanne Worley bring me back to the happy place
right.
When I get disgruntled about <the thing.
laughs>
politics.
Right.
So, what were you saying? Oh, you were talking about the Huffington Post this morning.
I was. At one point, I don't know what time, at what point it happened, and I blog over there on rare occasion with the lovely people at Huffington Post, but at some point, it's as if Ariana made a distinct decision to be the sheepdog of the Obama administration and use her site as a way of sort of barking from the left, sheep herding them in the right direction,
Mm-hmm.
And And unfortunately,
which is not bad in itself.
In theory.
I got a lecture from her on the Joy Behar Show. Stephanie, just because we voted for Obama does not mean that we need to support him blindly on everything like Afghanistan if we do not agree.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that I'm for. That isn't the problem at all. The issue I have is that now that it's kind of gone so far in that direction that they're now barking the sheep off the cliff, as it were. You know what I mean? Like, they're so into...
Oops, wait a minute. We just meant to get you in the right direction.
Right, exactly. Now the narrative is so driven that way that there's actually no real conversation happening, unfortunately. And the newest one, their banner is Commission Impossible. And it's got this picture of Obama kind of harumphing. And the article itself is about the fact that since the Senate will not do what, you know, a majority of the union want and allow for the creation of a deficit commission, he's going to do it by executive order. I would think that would almost drive a directly opposite type of cover. Like, if the Commission Impossible being that if they're not going to do it, I'll do what's impossible because Washington is broken. I think it's a positive thing he's doing, and they're presenting it as a negative. And
we got to take a break, but I want to get your take on Evan Bayh, because, you know, obviously we had callers. Oh. It's all over. I had to go on MSNBC yesterday. Is it all over for the Democrats? Is it
really? The loss of Evan Bayh is all over?
Proportions,
right.
Yes. Democratic dogs and cats living together.
Yes,
already.
Exactly.
You know. I brought it back to dogs and cats.
Yes, you would think that people, like Barney Frank was retiring. How in the world are they treating Evan Bayh, the disappearance?
We'll get your analysis on all that in a moment. In the meantime, you know, Hal, I've taken a P90X.
It's
so
true.
To make myself more desirable to you. You're
going
to be in New York next week, right?
It's true, yes.
You'll get to see the early results. A friend told me, seriously, and I've gotten tons of letters, you know this, Chris, from our listeners, a lot of people, Julie from Seattle, she busted out her P90X box yesterday.
That's right.
It's the best workout of your life. You get incredible results. It's 90 days. Think about it. You can get your mind around that.
Mm-hmm.
It includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You're always working your body from a different angle, so you don't plateau, you don't get overuse injuries, and you don't get bored. What did you do yesterday, Chris? Because every DVD is a different. Some days are back and shoulders. Some days are...
Chest.
Oh, you did chest? I can tell.
Girl.
I can tell your boobs look amazing on Skype.
He's on thank camera you. Right now.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
We're live
see,
streaming.
See, that was my
right
problem
now, so
in the gym. It was like attention span because you know me, I don't like to be out of my home for very long.
Exactly.
And so I don't do it very long. I don't do it enough. Like I do a little girl workout in the gym. But see, this you focus on one body part and really, really work it day after day. You get amazing results. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge and posting my results online. I challenge you to, too. And check this out. 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Hello? Why not? Call now. 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to my website right now, stephaniemiller.com. Click on the P90X banner ad. 19 minutes after the hour, we will talk about the... state of the Democratic Party with the loss of Evan Bayh. With Hal Sparks next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wait, not the one done with P90X. Not yet!
I think that was in reference to the cab driver.
Oh, sorry.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Finally, something in the cab that smells worse than the cab driver.
No.
Oh, come on.
Dude.
No, nothing like that happened.
Right.
I joke, of course. All right. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks, everybody, as you know. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. It's toll-free from anywhere to join the party. So, I had to go on TV yesterday because you know how the mainstream media storyline, the Democratic Party, is It's a crisis of epic proportions.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. I'm totally panicking. The centrist annoying Democrats are leaving, and I'm supposed to flip out. It's just...
You know, this whole, obviously the storyline is, there's no room for moderates anymore. There's, you know, that's what Evan Bayh was talking about, the extremes on both sides.
He quit for, there was another post yesterday about how he's actually looking forward sort of to his lobbying career, that there's $13 million waiting for him as soon as he leaves office. And he's got his war chest of money that everybody's going, who's going to get back the money that people were putting towards his reelection campaign?
If I were a donor to his campaign, I'd be really pissed now.
Yeah, exactly. Pardon me if I don't freak out that we're losing him, quite frankly. It's kind of like that loss of Joe Lieberman to some degree, you know?
You mean we might not be able to count on Joe Lieberman? Why?
Yeah, exactly. So in all honesty, there's good riddance to bad rubbish going on in both parties. Unfortunately, in our side, it's perceived as somehow, a bigger loss. Because right now it's 6-4 or whatever. There's six.
That's what I was going to say. There's still more Republicans retiring than Dems.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And there's more, the toss-up seats are going to be just as viable come election time. Everybody knows that, 6 months in politics is a million years.
Right.
So, believe me, watch by summer.
Well, here's, it's funny. Chris, this we talked about this yesterday, and it seems like this poll bears me out. I mean, I'm saying, excuse me, I think the reason people are disgusted with Democrats is because of Democrats like Evan Bayh.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
It's not, they're the ones that are also obstructing. I had to go on to David Schuster's show when he played a Rush Limbaugh clip, and I said, oh, my God, I think I'm going to agree with Rush Limbaugh. I need to take OxyContin.
I saw that.
But, he basically said the thing about, look, you had 60 out from 59. Why can't you get anything done? Wait, what? Why are you making this like a B? And that's what I'm saying. Yes, it's because of,
conservative
Dems like Evan Bayh that it is. It's ridiculous.
It
when
never
George Bush didn't have that much of a majority, they got stuff done.
Exactly. There was no the illusion of 60 votes was one of the biggest hamstrings of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, the elimination of it gives us a lot more room to move. Now the question is, will the filibuster survive the next 3 months? Because this is really what
Chris, this is what I've been saying is I said, if we don't get stuff done, if we don't get things like health care that the huge majorities of Americans want done. I said, it's the Democrats that are going to pay the price, and the blue dogs are going to be the first ones booted out. And I think this new poll, I think, bears me out, the CNN poll's anti-incumbent fever at a record high.
Yeah, that's shocking.
People want everybody out. You know what I mean? It's going to bite Republicans in the ass,
right.
Too.
They got
their own problems with the teabaggers.
This is the worst anti-incumbent fever CNN poll has seen in 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, it's not because, there's no room for the Evan Bayhs. It's because the Evan Bayhs are the people that are clogging up us getting anything done.
Yeah.
The Mary Landrews and the Ben Nelsons.
Exactly.
The people need the backroom deals.
Mm-hmm.
Only a third of U.S. voters think that most members of Congress deserve to be reelected this year, according to a new national poll. That's the lowest number ever recorded for that question in the CNN survey.
Mm-hmm.
Only 34% feel current federal lawmakers deserve a reelection. 63% saying no. This is not a good year to be an incumbent, regardless of which party you belong to, said the CNN polling director. Voters seem equally angry at both Republicans and Democrats this year. And polls are bearing that out. Look, first of all, Republicans, we see you.
Yeah.
You can't hide how obstructionist you're being. I mean, absolutely, people get that. But the problem is, I think it's because Democrats are being weenies. Because of people like Evan Bayh.
Right. Well, the idea that somehow, that one or two senators can hold up the entire business of the Senate from this sort of this bizarre ability to just, actually holding up all, 70 of Obama's appointees. That's absurd. That mechanic
doesn't work. Yeah, do you think people
work.
Really, I know Joe Lieberman's very pleased with himself, but do you think the Americans really like the idea that one senator can stop health care reform for the entire United States of America?
Sounds like democracy to me. Sounds like little kingdoms.
Representative Bobby Scott, Democrat of the great state of Virginia, on all this and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Bert!
Stephanie Miller.
It's hotter than a Calgary brush fire. Mind if I ask a root?
34 minutes after the hour, it is Hump Days with Hal. Hey, what's this headline I see? Toyota might recall Corolla. I thought his radio show already got canceled.
You're right.
All right. That's not important now. What's important is we have an important congressman on the line, Representative Bobby Scott of the great state of Virginia. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Okay.
Well, you know, we were just talking. I want to get your take on this whole Evan Bayh thing. And, of course, I had to go on TV yesterday to talk about the imminent death of the Democratic Party. the CNN poll, I think probably is going to make all of you guys afraid, right? The anti-incumbent fever is at a record high. I think people are frustrated that nothing is getting done and that, you know, they're going to take it out on everybody, don't you think?
Well, I think, if we're not doing anything, they rightfully will take it out on us. I think it's imperative that we get our act together and pass health care. The House has passed a good health care bill. I mean, everybody agrees that there's a problem. The costs are going through the roof. Too many people aren't covered. The costs are increasing. People are losing their insurance. I mean, you look at California, they're raising the premiums 30%. I mean, we need to do something.
Yeah.
The House had a good bill.
Right in the midst of this, they have just as if to prove our point, they raise premiums, yeah.
You would have thought they'd had the common decency to wait until the bill would either pass or died, but no, right in the middle, they just have no respect.
Congressman, is their gamble that health care is dead? Are they right?
Well, we have 59 votes in the Senate, and the people keep talking about all the Democrats that aren't running for re-election. They're more in the House. There are more Republicans not running for re-election than Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The people not running for re-election. Evan Bayh is very popular in a tough state, but there are other states where we have a good pickup potential, and the Republicans have banked their entire future on killing health care after they have agreed that there's a problem. The interesting thing is going to be the summit, where we've made the tough choices. I mean, their strategy is clear. We have problems. We have health care. We have the budget. We have jobs. And we need to make some tough choices. They just sit back, and when Democrats make a tough choice, they pounce.
Right.
In the summit, we're going to put out the fact that we made some tough choices and then turn to them, what are your alternatives? They can pounce on the tough choices, but the question is, what is your alternative? What tough choices are you willing to make? And the answer is none. The House...
The
health care bill in the House did not reduce costs, did not do anything with pre-existing conditions, and you had the same number of people uninsured 10 years from now as you got now.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, I may be one of the last remaining hope mongers, but I believe in the president's ability to turn this around at this summit, because I think if nothing else, I mean, either he's going to show them for the complete obstructionist they are, or, you know, at least he's going to say, what are your ideas? Why are you against this? It's like maybe it's a way to at least finally clarify this conversation for the American people.
And that's why agreeing to the summit was the stupidest thing they could possibly do, because in the light of cameras, they have to acknowledge that they have no alternative to a problem that they acknowledge.
Right. Time after time, they're on camera saying, this has to be in the health care bill. Well, it's in there. This has to be in it. It's in there. You know, it's like, explain to the American people why you are against this, other than the fact that Barack Obama is for it.
Well,
right?
And that's, I mean, you can't take them seriously. I mean, you had the debacle of the Budget Commission, Deficit Commission, where co-sponsors of the bill voted against it. I mean, it's clear what's going on. They wait for the Democrats to make the tough choices, and then they pounce. They have no answers of their own. And in the summit, in the light of day, they're going to have to say, well, here are the tough choices we've made you disagree with. What tough choices are you willing to make to get to make some progress? And it's going to be interesting to see what they say. I hope it will embolden the Democrats. We've got 59 votes in the Senate. I mean, okay, all of them may not be in favor of health care. I mean, we may not have 59 votes for a good health care bill, but we ought to have at least 51.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the majority, and if they want to know what to do with 51 votes, just, you know, turn the clock back a couple of months to when the Republicans had 51 votes, and they were threatening the Democrats, and the Democrats were backing off. They were
right.
gonna, do this nuclear option, which meant they weren't even going to change the rules. They were going to just break the rules. And in face of that, the Democrats just backed off.
Whatever happened to demanding an up or down vote? You know, the Republicans were demanding that all over the place, and the Democrats aren't doing that.
Well, and if you want to know what the debate ought to sound like, just roll the clock, but just roll the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Congressman, that's the danger, I think, in this, at least in the CNN poll. 56% of the people questioned say most Democrats don't deserve to be reelected. An equal percentage say Republicans don't deserve reelection. The pollster saying the voters' cool view of incumbents of both parties may hurt Democrats more because there's more Democratic incumbents.
Well,
that's what
true.
I've been saying. You know, we better grow a spine or, you know, they're going to take us all down with them.
Well, if we can't govern with 59 votes, it does raise a question of what whether or not we're the ones that need to be governing.
This is the difference. You know, the Republicans had no problem putting through Bush's tax cuts for the top 1% through reconciliation. And, you know, meanwhile, we've got, you know, whether it's Nelson or Landrieu or Bayer, any of these people, they need their special deals to get this or that. And that's what I'm saying is, you know, we better get our own party together on this, right?
I think actually losing the 60 may have been may have helped because it meant that each and every Democrat wasn't a deciding vote. You're going to get 51 votes. And if you lose one or two, and some of the senators, I think, embarrassed the party by insisting as a condition of their vote to put some ridiculous provisions in that just embarrassed the party.
Absolutely. Congressman,
when they did it, it wasn't such a bad thing because whatever it took to get the bill out of the Senate, I think was okay because we're going to rewrite it in conference, and then they would have an up or down vote with all those simple provisions being taken out. So a lot of the Democrats said, okay, just put it in. Let's just get the bill out and in the conference so we can write a good bill. And then when you lost the 60th vote, you had a bill that really looked silly.
Right.
Yeah.
Congressman, what is this latest thing? I mean, those of us that have dared to dream of a public option, the fight over the public option came back into the limelight yesterday. Four Democratic senators asked Harry Reid to hold a vote on a public option, correct? The letter was co-signed by 119 Democrats in the House.
How do you have a plan? I can't understand how you can have a plan without a public option. You're requiring people to buy insurance in most states from a sole source without any limit on what they can charge. I mean, John McEnroe would say, you cannot be serious. I mean, this is absolutely absurd. And they can charge whatever they want, and they can go up 30%, and people have to buy. And to add insult to injury, and most people, if they're buying in the exchange, are subsidized over about 10% of their salary, and so they don't care what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
The government's
Congressman Scott,
this
I don't mean to
be absurd. We need to hold them accountable,
yep.
And that's what the public option does.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to name names, but Representative Jerry Conley and Representative Earl Pomeroy, your colleagues, Democrats, talked about, you know, using reconciliation. Conley said it looks too partisan. Pomeroy likened the move to legislative trickery. I mean, this is the problem, right? Like, Republicans never said stuff like that when George Bush wanted something, right?
I I'm not going to comment about my Virginia colleague, but I think it's important that you have 59 votes. It's at some point you just have to legislate. The Republicans' position, and we've got them, you know, incredibly, you have them on tape saying it, that they have a partisan political strategy to defeat the bill. Now,
right.
why would you give someone the courtesy of slowing things up and blocking things when their known strategy is just to say no? And how are you going to be bipartisan when one side wants health care and the other side doesn't?
Right.
Yeah. Where's the compromise there? Exactly. Yeah. Well,
that you're going to start from scratch is so...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, Congressman, what do you make of when, you know, you get this storyline with Evan Bayh that, oh, you know, there's just no room for moderates anymore. You know, it's the fringes of both parties. I mean, to me, when you started a year ago and the American people hugely wanted a health care reform with a strong public option, a plan far more, quote-unquote, liberal than anything that's even currently being considered... I mean, what do you think this means? The
the problem with the discussion on bipartisanship is it leaves out, you know, when you have one who decides for partisan political advantage to take an extreme position for which there can be no compromise. I mean, the discussion ought not be whether or not Democrats and Republicans are working together, particularly if the Republicans have decided it's in their partisan political advantage and not to work together. But what makes sense? I mean, he's talking about a moderate position. Take a moderate position and explain it. The Republicans will vote no, which as they did on the Budget Commission. They're going to vote no on health care. They're going to vote no on the stimulus.
No, I mean, look at the president reaching out on nuclear energy yesterday, and they're still going to vote no on cap and trade, right?
Well, what you need to do is talk about not whether or not the Republicans and Democrats are working together, but whether the plan makes sense. And that's left out of the discussion. I mean, you can have a Democratic plan that makes sense, you can have a Republican plan that makes sense, and you can have a bipartisan plan that makes no sense.
Yep.
And so what you ought to be talking about is a plan that makes sense, a plan that you state the problem, you state the solution, and you show how it solves the problem, how it's cost effective, and it's a plan that makes sense. Now, if only Democrats are voting for it, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. A bipartisan plan. You saw that jobs thing. There was it was bizarre.
Yeah.
That they patched together. That everybody started. As soon as somebody read it. I mean, they came out with great fanfare. We've got a bipartisan bill. As soon as people read it, I mean, people were running for cover.
Right.
Pork, tax cuts that didn't do anything about jobs. I mean, it wasn't big enough to do anything other than people's pet pork projects, and you call it a jobs bill. I mean,
yep.
Just because it's
in the name of bipartisan. I know, exactly.
Doesn't mean it makes sense.
All right. I don't mean to name names, but Representative Bobby Scott, one of the good guys, Democrat of Virginia, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. I guess he had to go. Hello. Goodbye. 42.
Hello.
He didn't even say goodbye. All right, then. 46 minutes after 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is 15 minutes after the hour. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hello, Hal.
Oh, he doesn't have his headphones on.
I'm sorry. There you go. Hi, I'm back. I'm alive. Hi, how are you?
Are you video streaming at HalSparks.com?
I am. We are live streaming. And we got about 162 people in the chat room, which is not bad. It's only like three times more than most people get on shows.
Size queen.
Yeah,
it's all right. The Dow is up 34 points. Bobby, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bobby.
Hi, I'm just calling to say I agree with Hal when it comes to Huffington Post. You know, I marched in the 60s and 70s, and so you're used to confrontation. I just never seen anything so toxic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, some of these people, they don't even have a clue. And you almost need a volume after coming off of there. So,
yeah.
So if you don't want to be depressed, hey, stay away from that site.
Yeah.
Because what people don't get, their opinion pieces. Mm-hmm. And to adopt someone else's opinion as your own, mm-hmm. you got to start thinking better.
Well, I'll say that I would go even one step further in that. I think it's worse in the respect that you have in this case, they'll take another piece of a news story from the New York Times or a news story from somewhere else, and then they'll tack on what they think is sort of a Daily Show-style funny headline version of it. But it is invariably these days very negative and sort of and like I said, barking everybody off the cliff, like in a very negative way. That Commission Impossible is a great example. And there's time and time again, HuffPost will run those kind of headlines, and they had to pull a couple of them down last week because people were like, wait a minute, that's not what the content of the article mm-hmm. is at all.
Exactly. Taking two things out of context and then spinning them without even seeing the complete article.
Exactly.
You know, in some ways, Bobby, this is what we're talking about, you know, with congressional Democrats. It's just don't do the right wing's work for them.
Right.
Oh, we all worked really hard to get this president and this Democratic majority in there. You know, somebody yesterday was like, oh, it's all over now with Evan Bayh. It's like, no, that's my point about Evan Bayh. Now's not when you quit. Now's when you stand up and
exactly.
fight.
Exactly. You got a great slot to fill where you can eliminate one of the votes that was never for the agenda in the first place. It was actually against it in a lot of places, or put in things that really weighed the bills that we want down. The very thing we've been annoyed at in the Democratic Party, that margin of 8 or so, Evan Bayh is a loss of one of those. That's that's more something to be celebrated, I think.
Yep. Thank you, Bobby. The thing Chris always says is, yeah, but this is a conservative area, Indiana, and, you know, we're going to get a Republican if we don't get an Evan Bayh. What's your answer to that?
I think that's the meme that's been pushed by, the DNC or the, I guess, what is it?
Well, that's what Chris is. He's a right-wing tool kind of Democrat. He's like a Nazi.
No, I'm just saying that I have lived in, you know, red states as well as blue states.
Right.
And so I know how the dynamic is in a red state.
It's true, but Indiana's not one of those. It's not quite, I mean.
Well, it's a purple state.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Don't you think they might be just as likely, Chris, in a purple state to vote for a Democrat with an actual, you know, set of balls?
I think there would be an element.
When you look at the CNN poll, it's you know, I think what they're saying is either Democrats get something done or get out of the way, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know. Evan Bayh yesterday on MSNBC declared the American political system dysfunctional, riddled with brain-dead partisanship and permanent campaigning. Bayh argued the American people need to deliver a shock to Congress by voting incumbents out en masse and replacing them with people interested in reforming the process and governing for the good of the people rather than deep-pocketed special interest groups. Oh, you mean like the insurance lobby mm-hmm. that you get checks from or your wife gets checks from? It's just like he's part of the problem. I mean, that's what's ironic about it.
Well, it's easier to say that we're going to vote out incumbents, but everybody hates everybody else's congressperson except for their own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, it's fine to say you're going to vote out the incumbents. It just never happens.
That's exactly right. In all honesty, that incumbent fever is about everybody else's senator, everybody else's congressperson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, you know, the reason it's true this time is because people are more vocal about it and stuff. People are in a complaining, you know,
it
space
is at an all-time low, though. According to the survey, 51% feel their own member of Congress should be reelected, also an all-time low, while 44% say they should not be returned to office. So, you know, even though you're right. Generally, I think people are disgusted with everybody at this point.
I agree. I think some of it is not earned, though, however, unfortunately. I think, like I said, I think the Obama administration has a messaging issue more than anything else. And supposedly, according to the stories lately, they're really going to take much more of a lead in that area. Insofar as really getting the message out, because people are not aware of all the good things that they've done in a lot of ways. So I think that's
why I wish the Evan Bayh and the Byron Dorgans had stayed to fight. There's, you know, this story about even politicians are sick of Washington today. Byron Dorgan said last month that partisan rancor and the loss of comedy in the Senate was driving him away. Moderates like Bayh and Dorgan used to actually work closely with Republicans when Republicans ran Congress. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, not these Republicans. I mean, that's, to me, that's the problem is this. I think this group of Republicans is fairly unprecedented. And that, you know, and that is provable in their use of the filibuster, their abuse of the filibuster, et cetera.
Well, it's also inherently easier to corral Republicans than it is to corral free-thinking Democrats.
Yeah.
It's just,
by the way,
Bobby
Scott said to us, don't we have it on tape? We do, don't we, Chris? Remember the up or down? We used to have the up or down montage. Remember, Hal, when there were Republicans in Congress? Everything required an up or down.
All judicial nominees deserve an up or down vote.
What goes up?
The Senate as a whole will speak with an up or down vote.
Must come down.
They do not want to vote up or down on these nominees.
Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin.
Judicial nominees deserve up or down vote.
When they're George Bush nominees.
Exactly.
Yes, we made that nifty montage, Hal. They said it so much.
Right.
It's just any day we had a Republican that would say up or down, up or down, up or down, up or down. We need an up or down vote.
Yeah, exactly. Why can't we get an up or down vote on health care reform?
Yeah, exactly.
We'd love one.
I'll tell you why, because they know we have the votes to pass it. That's why. And they also know that this country is not a center-right country. This country is actually more liberal than anything, like by the polls across the board. Mm-hmm. Look at
well, yeah, exactly. They read the same polls we did, showing 70% of the American people wanted a public option.
Exactly.
Going, gee, that's a lot. That's not very center-right in your opinion. That's socialist, you know?
And so now you've got this minor group being able to hold everything hostage, and this perception of Washington being that everybody is out for themselves and everybody doesn't want to do anything. When you have really solid senators, Franken, people like him, doing really good work, that are getting kind of swept up in this idea that everybody's bad and it's not fair.
58 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch, Media Matters for America, co-host Right Wing World, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, everybody. Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey coming up next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer, as you know. Don't wait. Back up your computer today. You'll be glad you did. You get a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com right now. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie.
Han Solo, right. Not included.
Exactly. FDIC. Member FDIC. All right. Hey, you know what, kids? You know what's just magic?
What?
You know what I'm talking about. The day a person gets their very first jingle on the Stephanie Miller Show. Why, look, everybody, it's Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America.
Carl.
Carl Frisch for Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
It's Frisch.
Let me put down my glow stick. Hang on a second.
You can't hold those things in your mouth that
he's
way.
He's the Lady Gaga of the Stephanie Miller Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Lady Gaga, I like it.
So, you know, I love your piece on global warming. You say you grew up in L.A., so the notion of living in or around snow is romantic. The thing of movies, living in D.C. this past week has proven to me something entirely different. And we were saying it does. It leads to the moron... right-wing storyline. There can't be global warming. Good, look out, the snow.
Yeah,
basically,
it's basically stupid or lazy, or both, actually.
Right.
But yeah, these images that I had growing up of the Christmas story style winter, these Rockwellian images have just been smashed every time we even get a little bit of snow in D.C. Because I know I'm going to come into work the next morning, and everything I'm going to see on Fox News and from right-wing talkers on every cable network is how this proves that Al Gore's an idiot and there's no global warming.
Yes. Yes. It brings out, as you say, the conservative media is anti-science crazy. To them, cold weather proves what they already believe. There's no global climate change, and even if there were, we humans certainly aren't even partly to blame.
It's absurd. I mean, I think it's partly retaliatory because Fox doesn't have the Olympics. and, if they had to cover the Olympics with all of their issues not having snow or
cold
weather.
Yeah, where they have to truck snow in? Because that happens every year.
Yeah, and it gets down to, a mistake on the behalf of scientists way back when they decided to call it global warming because they thought people would be smart enough to read into what is global warming, i.e., it ends up having severe effects on all kinds of climate.
And here's something where the Lady Gaga of the Stephanie Miller Show will blind you with science. The fun facts by Carl Frisch in this week's The Media Matters. This is as good a moment as any to note there is a very real difference between weather, what we experience outside over a short period of time, and climate. The study of weather over a relatively long period of time got that. Conservative media figures telling you that this week's blizzard, short period of time, disproved global climate change, relatively long period of time, are either lying or shockingly misinformed. All right. Carl.
Thank you very much. I wish I was Mr. Wizard on Nickelodeon sometimes. Yeah. Which probably dates me. I don't think that. I think it's all like Britney Spears sisters.
No, I remember Mr. Wizard on Nickelodeon.
All right, Carl. Let's dive into the right-wing world.
What's
doing? You know, I was just mentioning earlier, Carl, the CNN poll showing an anti-incumbent fever, which is basically in equal parts. People want to throw all the bums out because obviously they're not getting anything done. But not according to Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
Everybody, particularly on other networks, is talking about an anti-incumbent mood. It's not an anti-incumbent mood, or it's only partially an anti-incumbent mood. What we're seeing is as an ideological movement. You're seeing that manifest in the Tea Party movement, but you're seeing conservatives, small government types, come out and be energized and invigorated in a way that they haven't in years, probably since 1994.
Mm. Okay. It's a conservative groundswell, you
right.
see.
It isn't this. It may be partially, but it's not. And I have no polling of any scientific nature to back up my statement. I could point to the fact that the Republican Party is more unpopular than it's been in several generations, but I shan't do that because it undermines my point.
And by the way, it's snowing.
All right. Jonah Goldberg on Brit Bear on the Bayh decision.
I think in some ways one of the most devastating things about Bayh's decision is it so it casts in stone this narrative that was already hardening, that the country's fed up with Washington, the country's gone on the wrong track, Obama messed up his first year, the Democrats have messed up their chance. And that was, you know, Bayh's parting shots at Reid and at the process and at the Congress generally reinforced all of that in a way that I don't think can now be rewritten. And that is the narrative that we're going to be going into all the way into the midterm election.
That was the insurance industry talking.
It reinforces this thing that I already believe. It's fascinating to see people spin the buy of the week. Mm-hmm. And
the lack of bipartisanship, by the way, all Harry Reid's fault?
Right.
Wow.
If only because one of the reasons that progressives have not been able to achieve what they promised voters and were elected on in 2006 and 2008 is because of people like Evan Bayh.
We had bipartisanship, all right.
The only thing that's hardening is Evan Bayh's hairdo.
Carl Rove on the Hannity program on Harry Reid's race.
In Nevada, they could be the spoiler that reelects Harry Reid. I think there's a bigger problem for the Tea Party movement, which is I think it becomes less effective the more political it becomes. I'm going to write my column about it this week in the Wall Street Journal. I think the Tea Party has come onto the American scene with huge power and influence because it has basically been apolitical. It's gotten Democrats, independents, and Republicans together concerned about deficits, debt, spending, and the power of government.
Yeah, except they aren't trying to get any Democrats elected. They're trying to get even farther right than Republican candidates elected.
And this is a column that I will be writing with the blood of unicorns.
They're getting Democrats elected by accident because it backfires.
All right. You know that the Republican Party and the conservative movement have bright prospects when their theory to address their stunning blows in 2006 and 2008, and they will trumpet this in the media, is that they just weren't conservative enough. If you can just add a little bit of Birther and a little bit of Palin, the American people will just rejoice.
But do you think there's an element of the narrative that isn't being talked about is that the Tea Party could ultimately be the nadir of the Republican Party in a very solid way in the upcoming election?
Let's hope so.
Carl
Rove sounded scared about that, exactly. Mm-hmm. They could be the spoiler that gets Harry Reid.
Here's the difference between the Tea Party and the nadir eventually Dean-type movements. The difference is that the Democratic Party over the course of, 15 years had shifted far to the right on all kinds of issues, and then it had basically given Bush a lot of what he wanted when he was president. So really what happened is that Nader forced Democrats and brought about, what ended up being the Dean movement that brought the party back to its roots as progressive,
right.
And then they won control of Congress in 2006 and 2008. To think that the Republican Party benefits from the Tea Party movement is just absurd, because the Republican right. Party, in at least in part, you know, there's also corruption and all these other things,
right.
At least in part lost because they'd lost touch with the American people right. because they went so far to the right. And to think that going further to the right is going to help them is just ludicrous.
Right. Yep. I love Democrats. You're right. It's like everything we did to get elected in 2006 and 2008, let's not do too much of that now.
Hannity, last year, on Republicans.
All right, the Republican Party is rising in America, but even with recent GOP gains, it appears that Democrats are turning a blind eye to this unmistakable moment. Now, they're sticking to their tired old talking points about how Republicans, they don't have a strong leader and that infighting could split the GOP vote. But as Pete Wehner points out on PoliticsDaily.com, Democrats are simply ignoring the cold, hard facts.
What?
Let's just take a moment to say that Sean Hannity accused someone else of reading tired old talking points.
Yeah.
He's not just called tired and old in the gay bar. I can tell you, for a guy who is so obsessed with President Obama's teleprompter, there isn't anything that has ever come out of Sean Hannity's mouth that's original.
That's right.
It's Mark Levin.
Mark Levin writes it all for him.
He says them better now, because they used to smear on the fax machine from the Bush White House, but now he sees them clearly on his BlackBerry.
He found this thing called email on the Internet.
Yeah.
I would like to say for the record, though, I do think that Hannity reads his prompter better than O'Reilly does, because O'Reilly not only looks like he's reading, but that he's bored of reading at this point.
Funny you should mention that. Here he is now reading his teleprompter.
Talking Points has always admired sincere Americans who get involved in trying to improve their country. And that is what most Tea Party people do. They're regular folks who are fed up
with having a black guy in the White House.
Yes.
And Bill O'Reilly is often accused of being unsympathetic to the plight of regular people. It's just to hear. First of all, it's hard enough to watch O'Reilly. Second of all, Hal is precisely correct that he doesn't know how to read a teleprompter.
Right.
It's one of two things. It's either he's just learned to read,
or he'd rather do it live.
He does read in that voice of "I'm following this with my finger."
Uh-huh. I think I'd like to see him do it live. Is what I like, because I think it'd be a little more.
Do it live.
Andrea Macris would have something to say about
that.
So. Carl Frisch, there comes a point in every right-wing world where you must eat your peas. When we come back, you will have to eat your Sarah Palin peas, but I will give you your jingle again for dessert. 17 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more right-wing world with plenty of caribou Barbie in it. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes
after the
hour.
I don't think she approved that little ditty.
What?
Stupid girl. It's ironic. It's what the kids are listening to.
It's the dunce cap
fits. Yeah, 10 years ago.
You mean Sarah Palin's kids? I'm sorry.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. I'm surrounded by male comedy stud muffin meat. Jim Ward, Chris Lavoy, Hal Sparks, and of course Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Co-hosting Right Wing
World. Yeoman's work watching O'Reilly and all these people. Oh, God, I do not envy you that task, my friend.
Well, I am seeking therapy for post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
The meds you're on must be amazing. rivaling Rush.
Because now caribou Barbie meat has, of course, been mixed in the crazy right-wing boulabaisse that is the Fox News. Here she is on O'Reilly.
So many people had asked me, well, what's your reaction to this? You know, you had Rahm Emanuel using the effing retard term, calling people out, and you've had other people mocking, even our president mocked Special Olympiads. And what do you say about this Fox Hollywood episode of this cartoon? And one person who would ask me my reaction was my daughter, Bristol. And I asked Bristol, I said, well, honey, what do you think about this? And Bristol gave me words that were very wise and very gracious. And they were such good words in terms of what her response was to this episode that I Facebooked it today.
Yeah, I had to write it down right away or I forget it. And my hand wasn't available, so I used my Facebook page.
My teenage daughter, who is so wise when she's not getting knocked up, said something, and I put it on Facebook immediately.
And somehow Rush Limbaugh failed to be mentioned in that.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, because certainly he's never used the word.
Yeah.
And he's certainly never made fun of the Special Olympics, except that he's done both repeatedly.
Exactly.
So.
And pushed the people who defund the Special Olympics in attend.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see how she, as she's being paid by Fox, Carl, she cleverly called it Fox Hollywood.
Right.
Not the real Fox, you know, the Fox Hollywood that puts on the Family Guy.
Fox Broadcasting Company is going to change their name anytime soon to Fox Hollywood.
No, not at all.
It sounds more like an adult entertainer's name.
As an L.A. person, they're not even located in Hollywood.
You know, I'll give Palin this. I think any mother of a child with Down syndrome would have been upset by that episode of The Family Guy.
Sure.
But the problem is, and, you know, my mom volunteered for quite a while for the Special Olympics, and I can tell you that they need as many allies with the kind of star power and, you know, media pull that they can get. But what they don't need are fair-weather friends who pull their punches and don't criticize their political allies when they do the exact same thing.
I mean, if you listen to the Rush Limbaugh thing, you know, it's like the definition of obscenity, right, Carl? Like, you know it when you hear it. It's like, give me a break. He
right.
said it
he
40 times. He used it as an excuse to make retard jokes. You know, and it's
well,
like,
you know,
and she's not, and she's defending that.
But before Rahm had even been quoted in the paper as saying that word, Rush had been doing it for quite a long time. A year before,
right.
he was talking about the flu and how people should be preventing, you know, doing their thing to keep from getting the flu. And he said, you should retard. Oh, wait, Special Olympic it.
Right.
Who said that? Rush Limbaugh.
Oh. So, you know, I think that the folks, family members and people with Down syndrome need an ally, and they don't need somebody like Sarah Palin who's just, you know, there for the political gain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's unfortunate because she could be a strong voice for that community if she was consistent. Otherwise, she's just, you know, another...
A big fat hypocrite? Yes.
Yeah, politician. Mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is that Newsbusters, the conservative media-hating website, they've
sussed out liberal bias on this show many times. It's
I'm
shocking.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I've been on it, too.
Yeah.
But they were talking about this Dylan Radigan clip from MSNBC where he said if Palin really wanted to make a statement, she would reject her paycheck from Fox and remove herself from the network, wouldn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that wrote about it, he was just he was outraged. He tried to refute it by making this claim. He said, of course, Fox News has no connection to Fox Broadcast Channel or any of its
Fox Hollywood
programming.
Yeah.
They do have a connection. I have friends who work for Fox. And yeah, they're Fox News employees are in the company's email system. So,
yeah. Well, here's the other, you know, I was like, well, yeah, he's right if you refuse to acknowledge that Fox Broadcasting and Fox News are owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. And if you conveniently forget that Palin gave her first free pass to Limbaugh about his use of satire during her interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, which is a Fox Broadcasting show and heavily promoted by Fox News.
That's
so it's just absurd.
Yes.
By the way, in an interesting sidebar that has no relevance except for the fact that it allows me to name drop, I talked to Dylan Radican in hair and makeup yesterday at MSNBC. And he's delightful.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't catch the at MSNBC. I was a little worried.
All right. Monica Crowley on the Evan Bayh.
Look, Evan Bayh is known as a centrist. Evan Bayh was trying to work with Republicans on deficit reduction. He's about as mainstream a Democrat, Bill, as you can get. A centrist like Evan Bayh does not voluntarily bite the dust unless the Democratic Party has been hijacked by the far left, and that's exactly what's happened.
Or unless you got big paychecks from the insurance industry.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not dead.
Right.
Bite the dust. Second of all, to use her own, you know, political, you know, analysis, I'll just say that, you know, Evan Bayh's retirement is a good thing for Republicans and for Democrats.
Because mm-hmm.
It wasn't that
I
long
agree.
Ago that she was talking about that.
And I'm going to reward you for that with your jingle again before you go. Carl. Carl Frisch. For Media Matters for America. Goodbye, Carl Frisch. I'll see you next week. There he goes.
Awesome.
Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She represents the Russian spirit of sloth and alcoholism.
Well, it's Polish,
you
but
you say that enough. Like it's a bad thing. Here's what's weird about being in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International.
What?
So I'm just walking in here and I looked in another studio and I'm like, that's the grandpa from The Sopranos. What's
really?
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't
know. Hal, you know who I mean.
Yeah, but did they,
the,
they
guy, the old guy.
Did they not pay that licensing fee at the studio you're working
Dominic at? Dominic Chianese?
Yes. Yes.
Chianese.
Chianese. Yeah.
He played the, whatever, the guy that pretended to go crazy, you know, to get out of the, whatever. All right, 34 minutes after the hour. Just saying, that was a little bit of a moment. Am I in a Sopranos episode, or am I?
Hey, Tom.
All right. What a poor segue for a congressman from New Jersey. But here is Congressman Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
You're not in the construction business, are you, by any chance?
Oh, stop it.
No. So, Congressman, you know, the funny thing is we keep, you know, hearing all this doom and gloom from the Republicans. And I was just reading yesterday, you know, retail sales are up unexpectedly. Obviously, we've had, you know, better than expected job numbers. I mean, it seems like we are heading in the right direction, aren't we, on the economy?
Oh, I think we are, but I also think it's important for us to keep up some of the policies that have helped get us there. You know, the stimulus was very important, and that's why we need another jobs bill that has some tax relief for small businesses and also puts more money into transportation and infrastructure projects, because I think that the jump start that the stimulus or the Recovery Act gave us, you know, when we passed it last February, is bearing fruit, and we don't want to stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, it seems like we can't even agree on math anymore. Things that, you know, like the stimulus that quantitatively are showing we're going in the right direction, correct?
Right.
You know, he inherited an economy losing 700,000 jobs a month. You know, we're obviously heading in the right direction. We all want to do better. But how do we, you know, like, look at this jobs bill that just came out. What is it, this 15, you know, in the Senate?
Well, I mean, I think the problem is that on the Republican side, they've become very ideological. I don't want to cynically say they don't want to do anything, because I still believe that, you know, that the Republicans would like to improve the economy just like the Democrats. But they've become very ideological.
Not if it helps Democrats, they don't.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to go that far. But I think that they've become very ideological, and the whole ideology is, you know, don't spend money, don't have the government involved. But I don't see how in the middle of a recession you can take that philosophy. In other words, we have to realize that when we passed a Recovery Act and we put money towards, you know, transportation, mass transit, that is, you know, creating jobs, and that, you know, there's certain policies you can take. You know, Obama's talking about giving a tax cut to businesses that actually hire people, you know, taking some of the TARP money and giving it to community banks so they can give out loans to small businesses. I mean, these are the types of government actions that will make a difference. And so I wish we could get away from the whole ideology. Mm-hmm. Well, the government.
Well, Congressman, I mean,
government.
The president. I'm looking up at CNN right now. The president is speaking, you know, as we speak, about the fact that the stimulus clearly has averted a catastrophe. It clearly
There's
has.
No question.
Can you imagine if we had continued to lose 700,000 jobs a month?
Right, and every analyst, even the conservative ones, are saying that it, you know, probably created about 2 million jobs. Not to mention all the people that, you know, the teachers, the firemen, you know, that got money through the state, healthcare workers that, you know, we would have lost their jobs, the subsidy for COBRA to extend health benefits, the unemployment compensation. I mean, all these things have an impact to keep the economy going, keep people spending money. And so when you talk about retail sales, I think retail sales are up because we have put money out there that and allowed people to have money in their pockets to spend. You stop
right.
doing that, and
you know,
it's going to get the recession's going to come back and worse.
And that's the, you know, the narrative that we get, you know, sometimes even from the mainstream media, this doom and gloom. Just as we were talking, I got an email from someone named Susie that says, we have to say it over and over again to our friends and anyone who will listen. Since President Obama took office, real estate sales up, stock market up, auto sales up, auto manufacturing up, retail sales up, job losses significantly down, cooperation of Pakistan to help us catch terrorists, break up their network up. I mean, you know, that's the problem.
And that's why I'm voting for Nader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
And that's why impeach President Obama. Billboards are popping up everywhere.
Yeah. mean, that's it. That, look, the stimulus obviously has worked, and my pitch today is not only to say that it's worked, but also to say that we need to continue to do much of the same. I mean, this, the 3 points of this jobs bill are money for infrastructure, tax breaks for companies that hire workers, and you know, giving money to community banks so that they can you know, give out more credit, so that, you know, the credit becomes available for businesses that want to improve or expand. You've got to do these kinds of things, and,
right.
And the debt is a problem, Stephanie, but the debt's got to be addressed long term. And you know, the president says he wants to put a freeze on certain things, and we can certainly start looking at those things, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be addressed, but right now to turn off the spigot is just not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
Congressman.
New York Times story on the economy section. Judging stimulus by job data reveals success. It's a complete breakdown of how it has helped specifically. So the story is finally starting to make some break into the
news. Yeah.
But Congressman, that's the problem, isn't it? It's just you think things that can be quantitatively provable, at least we can sit with Republicans and go, okay.
Right.
The policies that Bush used that got, that's not good, right? Bad. We can agree bad. 700,000 jobs a month lost. You know, this, good, better. You know, let's do more of this. But you know, that's the problem, is they're not coming with us on any of this.
No. I mean, look, they may, and that's what we have to keep pushing for. But
well, and I may marry Keith Olbermann, but I'm just saying, it doesn't seem likely.
Too much of an ideological bent on their part, and it seems to be, you know, fueled by the Tea Party and these other groups that are just saying, look, you know, the federal government should do less, the federal government shouldn't get involved. And it doesn't matter whether it's a stimulus or it's health care or it's environment. You know, we just don't want the government to do these things. And you start going down that path and we'll have another depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congressman, what do you make of this? I have to ask you if you're a skeert of this CNN poll showing the highest anti-incumbent fever ever. Since this polling started, I mean, the problem now is they're blaming everybody, Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, it's a function of the recession. Look, if you lose your job, if you can't pay your bills, you're not going to be happy, and you're naturally going to think that who's ever in charge, you know, is not doing the best job. So I think it's just a function of that. You know, we can't, I was reading about Evan Bayh, and, you know, was saying that, you know, government doesn't work and people are at each other. And, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with him, you know, that we need to change, you know, and go back to a more civil environment. But, you know, people tend not to be civil when they're hurting. I mean, that's just the reality. You know, people, if there's a recession and times are bad, people
become less civil. I would put a finer point on it, is I think the Democrats are not getting done the things they were elected to get done. I would say that because of some conservadems like Evan Bayh, we haven't been able to get things like health care done.
Yeah, but I mean, again, we're not saying, Stephanie, that we don't want to reach out to the other side. We do. But I think there has
to be... Well, you're
to,
saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's necessary. But let's come together and compromise and, you know, give a little here or there so we ultimately accomplish something that moves us forward, you know, like a stimulus package or like health care reform. Let's just not, you know, bury our heads in the sand and say, okay, we're not going to do that.
But see, the stimulus, Congressman, that would be my point. That's a perfect example, isn't it, of something that we got done anyway, despite all the Republicans voting against it, and it has worked. And they show up to get their pictures taken with the giant checks, correct?
Absolutely.
That's my point, is why don't we get health care done that same way? It'll work, you know, and then they can take credit for it.
But the atmosphere was better even when the stimulus passed, because there were some Republican votes for the stimulus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting to a situation where, you know, it was getting hard to get Republican votes for anything. So
that's why I think they're terrified, because that stimulus is working, you know,
yeah.
And that's the one thing that was able to get through. And I think, you know, they've gone on record, Congressman, is saying that they want to beat the president politically. That's what they're interested in. So I just think it's frustrating.
Not. I mean, you know, if you look at this new jobs bill, I mean, it does have, you know, the tax cuts for small businesses, which I think it's going to be hard for them to oppose. So hopefully you get the tax cut in there, you know, for new hires, which, you know, the Republicans hopefully can support. They may not like the money being spent on infrastructure, but hopefully they'll come along and we can get some of them. But, you know, I don't know. I have to be optimistic, Stephanie. Otherwise, how do I get through the day, you know?
Right, exactly.
Listen, I I feel your pain, Congressman. My medicine comes in box wine. But anyway, you got to get up and do the people's business. We appreciate your time, as always. Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Thank you. Take
All
care.
Right. There he goes. See how he's a happy, clappy liberal like you.
See?
He chooses to look at the glass half full side.
He's he's also really focused on bipartisanship, and unfortunately, because of some of the conservative Dems and because of how really really hard right the GOP has tacked, that's almost become a bad word. There are sensible conservative philosophies. They're very rare these days, but they do exist, and I think these guys are still sort of playing the game of 10 years ago where they really do go, okay, there's some balance to be made. If you have an alternative viewpoint, we can get together and come up with something that might be better because both of us are attacking it from both sides, from other sides. But now it's
kind of quaint, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's sort of like someone going, I don't think
Wilder.
Doilies make me look old. I kind of like them.
It's very Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's like watching Little House. You're kind of like, I kind of wish.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, Chris? The apartment I came furnished that I'm renting here in New York, and it actually did have doilies.
Did it?
And
really?
I did put those away because I felt I already looked too much like an elderly shut-in.
Mm-hmm. You have antimacassars on the seats. There is not a single doily to be seen in your house here. Not a single one.
No. I'm already too blanche de bois. All right.
A lot of empty bottles, though.
Yeah, a lot of empty bottles.
45 minutes after right. the hour. Back with a celebrity stack on Hump Days with Hal. Who won the Westminster show? I'll tell you next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Shut
50
up,
minutes.
Let me go.
After the hour. Oh, the president's done. All right.
Perfect timing. I understand Stephanie Miller was going to run this, so I got to go.
So that's it. No more questions. Thank you. No further questions.
No.
Does he not understand how Mama must pay the bills? For God's sakes. All right. Yes, Chris, what is that thing, your sign you're giving me, like a third base coach on the Skype? What?
Well, we have calls.
Well, fine. Put one through to Mama.
Okay, we have David in Blaine, Washington.
Hello, David.
Hey, you guys. Aren't you just sick of all this pussyfooting around? And they need to pass the health care bill right now.
Yeah.
Can you guys do something about it? Can you guys crack
yeah.
the whip?
Yes, I'll get right on that. Thank you for asking. Where's no further questions. Button? Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Immediate action.
I appreciate where his sentiment is coming from, but I think that's part of the problem, is that some of us are looking at legislation like we should have a channel changer in our hand.
Yeah.
And we've become so used to...
Like, oh, my God, we've been on this healthcare channel. What is it, stuck?
Yeah, 70 years we haven't had a bill come to the floor to do this kind of reform.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting for this kind of thing, and it's taken a year, and it's actually gotten the votes through. It's actually looking like they're moving towards reconciliation. That seems to be the argument these days, which would be fantastic.
Yep.
There's four senators who are pushing for an up or down vote on a public option. There's a lot of movement on this thing.
Here's my fantasy of the February 25th televised thing, is they just illustrate what obstructionist boobs the Republicans are, and the president at the end says, and scene. And then they go directly to reconciliation right there. Right there, health care passes right
now. Don't give away Obama's plan.
On the TV, and then we can change channels and watch porn.
Really?
All right. More importantly.
Nobody watches porn on the TV anymore.
No.
It's on the computer,
online,
Stephanie.
Right.
Of course. That's where I watch my
TV porn is lame. Wait, so I'm told.
Yeah, right. Rumor has it.
I only watch puppy porn. Look at the picture of Bo. Look at Bo in the snow. Look at the president's dog, Bo. Oh, he's a good boy. Sorry.
It's okay. We like it. I like it when you light up like that. It's adorable, quite frankly.
Hal, you've seen Max and Fred, but you should see how polar bears love Central Park in the snow.
Yes.
Oh, they love it.
her. For those people that don't know, that she actually has to hire a herder for her dogs. Mm-hmm. She has to have like men on horseback, like chicken. These animals are huge.
Max made a little boy cry. Max made a little boy cry in Central Park yesterday. He peed on his snowman. And his mother was like,
maybe you should rethink this off-leash thing.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like your dogs are behaved enough to be off-leash.
Here's what happens when it snows in New York. It's like anarchy. Everybody takes their dog off the leash in the middle of the day. Woo!
Yeah, but not everyone's dogs pee on things.
Yeah,
that belong
on the
to
creations
people.
Of children.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
Yeah, they do. No, New Yorkers just get crazy when it snows. It's just like, Attica! Attica! They can't arrest all of us!
Yeah. But other people tend to train their dogs. You don't. So
not so much.
That's one of those people who says, like, my dogs are my children. No, they're not. They're your dogs. And that's a lovely thing. They should be your dogs. And you should love them as much as you love a dog. But
well, that's why I'm going to marry Ewan McGregor and not you. So take that.
Fine.
He's going to take his dog on a motorcycle adventure across South America.
Oh, that's
he said,
like,
I want to go out
idea.
On my own. I've got my dog, Sid. I've trained him to ride in my sidecar.
Oh,
and I thought
sidecar. Okay,
yeah,
that's
right.
All
right. I was about to panicking, too.
Yeah.
Can I get a double sidecar, one for Max and Fred? Wouldn't that be cool?
Get helmets and goggles.
Yeah. Yes, goggles. He said goggles, he even bought his dog a set of doggles. Mm-hmm. There's doggles.
Yes.
It's a, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course
so,
there are.
You know, so their eyes don't dry out when they... here's a lifelong dog question I've had. Maybe you guys can answer. Why is it dogs love to stick their head out the window when you're in the car, and then when you blow in their face, they get pissed off?
Right.
What's
don't
the deal
know
with that?
Don't know. I don't own a dog.
Yeah, I think Ellen used to have a joke about that. She goes, you know, who also hates that? My grandmother. You know, you're blowing her face. But it's funny because on long car trips, she sticks her head out the window.
All right. Guess who won Westminster? Sadie did. Sadie the Scotty won Best in Show.
why do you become Mighty Aphrodite?
Yeah,
when
why?
You
why
talk about
why
dogs?
That voice?
Yeah. Sadie the Scotty is a good girl.
Right.
Okay, can I say something? You know I'm a big animal
big.
Rescue person. And by the way,
yes.
if you go to stephaniemiller.com, Chris, you could click on USA Coffee Company
yes.
and get the best coffee in the world, and money goes to Gentle Giants Rescue, where Mama rescued Max and Fred.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know how we've been talking about how sometimes some liberals tend to make liberals look bad? PETA, not saying I don't love what they do, but they interrupted the... when Sadie was about to get her thing, there was a PETA protest.
As PETA is wont to do.
Yes. Right.
That's what they do.
Right before Sadie was going to get her whatever thing dogs
yeah,
get.
Yeah, but that's...
A pair of women walked into the ring in Madison Square Garden and held signs over their heads that said Mutts rule and breeders kill shelter dogs' chances. And, you know, they interrupted the,
All things I agree with, so I really can't help you there. I mean, I think it's lovely that that there are people in our society who will do to... dogs what they are also willing to do to apparently little girls in these weird beauty pageant things.
Yeah.
It's all the same sickness, just with a different beast.
It is. It totally is.
Let's just put lipstick on my dog because I can't have children because
I do
no
understand the
me.
Sentiment. See, for instance, like I've talked about this a lot that people don't realize because my dogs are purebreds, but you can rescue purebreds and a lot of it is because of people like, you know, that think they want to be breeders or show people or whatever.
Right.
In fact, Max and Fred both came from people that were going to be breeders and then they couldn't, and now there's a whole litter
yeah,
of these.
Your dogs are like are purebred.
So what I'm saying
like
is the people
are.
Really need to rescue, and you can get a purebred. You can rescue a pure. There's purebred rescues, and a lot of general rescues have purebreds. So,
absolutely.
You know.
But yeah, like I said, yours are purebred like crocodiles are purebred. Those are the beasts that were here before man. Yeah, senior dogs. I'm fairly certain they're lizards underneath. They might just be giant. I think you've taped fur onto a velociraptor just to get it past your the condo commission.
I'm saying is there is a difference between responsible breeders and you know, a lot of these backyard breeders and puppy stores and all that sort of stuff. Don't you think?
I do. I think there was at some point. I think now it's a little bit hard. It's getting very
right.
mushy.
I think so too.
And that's a tough one to do. And that's why I think it's wonderful that you rescued to purebreds. But the idea that we're you know, it's so funny when people worried about, you know, man can't play God genetically. What if we try to do human? And we've been doing it for centuries. There were only five dogs on the whole earth at one point. There was a tiny one, a gigantic one, a medium-sized one, and two wolves.
And the dingo.
And we managed to
my baby.
Genetically crowbar them into basset hounds, which are animals that would never survive in the wild.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like,
I know, do you think God intended there to be a labradoodle?
No, not at all.
A labradoodle poo?
Or a cockapoo.
Yes. Can you imagine herds of little, you know, basset hounds loping away from predators, stepping on their ears, like, without the benefit of a Disney sound effect, you know, to make them look cute in the process of escaping? It doesn't happen.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Celebrity Stack, which will include Hump Days with Hal, Jim Ward, and John Mayer and porn as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The boys are in L.A.
Hello.
The boys are back in town. Jim Ward, executive producer Chris Lavoie, and Hal Sparks. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks, everybody.
Yeah.
Steffi. Yeah.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes. And here with me in New York, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, who proved during the commercial breaks on HalSparks.com why his job is just to wear something tight and sign the checks.
Yes. Yes, he told the joke. Can we repeat the joke? Do we dare?
Sure. Go ahead.
Is Ron there? Is he going to do it?
No, he's left the room.
He said, what do you call a dog with no hind legs and steel testicles, as it were? Sparky.
You see, because
he would, if he was going on a Flint highway, I don't know how that works. But
reminds me, you remember how Bud Friedman used to get up and do some jokes to the owner of the Improv? And I remember Jerry Seinfeld got up one night and goes, you know, I always think it's a good idea when the owner of the club decides to try comedy.
Yeah, that's great. Right. I wouldn't mind if he did that if he let me write the checks one night.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer. I got everything backed up on my computer. Don't wait. Back up yours today for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. Yeah, David Bender, Chris, when he was in here last week, he was at that event in San Francisco with you guys.
Right.
He said that some woman actually had the guy that owns the show in a corner, like backed into a corner.
Yes.
Going, what's your name? You're the guy that's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know his name. But anyway, she was very, thank you for that. I appreciate it, sister. She really was incensed and was trying to, you know, get him, get some information for the police on him, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, by the way, speaking of David Bender, I know that he's been trying to talk you into coming along on the Progressive Talk Cruise as well.
Yes, with Bobby Kennedy. And yes. I can't cruise.
Well, you can't.
No.
No?
You get seasick?
No. I can't do boats. I get really seasick.
Aww.
Oh, boy. I know. I can't do
even
it.
If we shared I could counter balance the rocking of the boat.
You could be the ballast.
He'll hold your hair.
Exactly.
if we were rocking in a different direction than the boat.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It would tilt it in the other way, and I would definitely hold your hair. I'm just saying for the record, that's a go-to technique for me. Oh wait, you're talking about something else. I'm sorry.
All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie. Voice deity Jim Ward or me, Stephanie Miller, like Mark in Minneapolis did. Staff, Chris LaVoie is wrong, wrong, wrong. Huh? The Stephanie Miller Show is art. in the sense of an ice sculpture which makes no pretense of belonging to the ages. Real art is immediate, temporary, state-of-the-art. The so-called fine arts merely dim memories of a former genius. No more art any longer than fossils are dinosaurs. Real art is fins on a Cadillac, Julie Newmar in a Catwoman suit, and farts and slide whistle. Sending up the fascists.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Your art descends in a direct line from Will Rogers to George Carlin through Mort Saul and Bob and Ray. So there, Chris. Ha. Huh?
Wow.
And
so nice.
Furthermore.
We're art.
Wow. Are we? Yeah, it's good.
I'm friggin' up.
Well, nothing is more, I guess, temporary and yet has such a shocking impact as Broken Wind.
You can't spell fart without art.
So it's true.
So I guess.
All right. Can I have some happy clappy liberal music?
Sure.
Learn to fly.
You know how Julie in Seattle, a happy clappy liberal like you and I, she writes, "Hey Steph, just a little encouraging news to counter the Democrats are doomed in the midterms conventional wisdom. From what one hears on the TV machine, the Republicans are a well-oiled machine poised to win oodles of seats back from Democrats. Instead, it seems the boiling over of angry and dumb churning up from the teabag grassroots has left the New York GOP scrambling to narrow the hordes of amateur politicians who want to run for Congress in New York's now infamous 23rd district and five other competitive districts where they hope to unseat a Democratic incumbent. Even in the 23rd, where one might think the conservative whatevers had learned their lesson about bitter contested primaries, teabagger Doug Hoffman will not agree to not to scozafaza the race again if he doesn't get the Republican nomination this time over three other stooges vying for the chance to run." So, yeah, they're not exactly organized either, is all she's saying.
Oh, by no means.
And one more, Julie writes, breaking news from the Department of Boo-Hoo. Hang on a second. Here we go. Republicans are carping about their lot in life in the Indiana Senate race in the wake of Evan Bayh quitting. They want their friend Evan Bayh, who just quit because of Republican asshattery, to help them out and ask the state Democratic Party to extend the filing deadline. That he doesn't appear to be interested, so maybe this is working out better than we thought. A T and a he.
Now they get to have to go through an ugly primary where they have to have their normal candidate, quote in quotes, fight against the Tea Party candidate.
Right.
And we just have somebody who can actually just focus on message for the next 10 months.
And what's going to happen now is that the Democrats in Indiana are going to choose their candidate through their convention.
Right.
Which is great. That's awesome. So there was really nothing to worry about with this filing deadline.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Nanny.
Hal Sparks will be here in New York with me next week, which means that I will be making another drunken, clumsy attempt at seduction. However, I'm not this woman. In Burnell, Florida, a woman was charged with driving under the influence after showing up at Flagler County Jail and demanding a conjugal visit with a specific inmate.
Oh, no.
The 45-year-old woman had a visitation appointment but was turned away because she was late. Also, the jail does not allow conjugal visits. The woman drove away, but reportedly returned a short time later. Jail guards called the road patrol because they suspect the woman had been drinking.
Aren't conjugal visits a good reason for being late?
All right, could you hit my porn music, please? It's the celebrity stack story involving John Mayer and porn.
He's
a white supremacist. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, his penis is a white supremacist. And he used not only the N-word, but also, unfortunately, the F-word as well.
Yes, for a gay man.
Yes.
Yeah.
That F-word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Somebody's going to get invited to the White House for more than a beer summit. He's going to get invited for a big cup of STFU. John Mayer has been asked to direct a porn movie. He was approached by the X-rated video giant Vivid Entertainment to write and produce one of their upcoming raunchy films after he said it was his dream. A letter to him from the company's founder said, "Your understanding of the dynamics of relationships would undoubtedly appeal to both men and women."
Yeah. What? Extraordinarily temporary, based entirely on sex, and with no respect for your partner. That sounds about right.
He certainly understands a lot about the dynamic. We love you to chat as much as possible about everything the minute you get out of the bedroom. What a poser. All right.
Yeah.
Good guitar player, though.
Yes,
and a great
indeed.
Songwriter. I mean, he writes some very good ditties.
And Jessica Simpson is like crack to him, apparently, and he would like to
chop her up and
snort her.
Right.
Yeah. Body. Have you ever wanted to quit your life and snort someone, Hal Sparks?
No, not actually, because exactly. I don't use drug references since I'm straight edge. I don't; those wouldn't come up. But other activities, absolutely. I you know, call me old fashioned, but I would want to quit my life and continually have sex with them over great long periods of time. The part about chopping them up at any point never really factored into what I saw. Maybe I enjoy the sex part too much.
I would like them whole.
Yeah, I like my women in.
If I have
in
to assemble
piece.
The parts, it doesn't seem
no,
as
exactly.
much fun.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
IKEA sex. You
know, exactly
wanna,
yeah. right. Yeah, it's like. When you say you date models, that's not what we're talking about. You know, like not a model airplane.
Not that,
you know,
no.
I got to glue her back together. Crap.
It's IKEA sex, Jim. You have to wait in line forever. Right. Yeah. And by the time you assemble her,
and all those girls have those weird Swedish names that they name their products.
You know, that's that. I don't have a problem with.
Okay.
I have what I call IKEA relationships, which is I do all the work, and after 2 years, it falls apart anyways.
Oh, how sparks everybody. Oh, my God.
That's a kick into Swedish meatballs. Yeah,
totally. Sure, yeah, sure, you betcha.
So Jessica Simpson, the superficial writes, Jessica Simpson appears in the latest issue of Allure, where she might as well have answered each question with, I'm completely oblivious to everything around me, and sometimes a man's penis enters my vagina.
Wow.
Or at least that's how I read it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Here's the
for Mike is not so much a wonderland.
No. By the way, he wrote
here
that song about himself.
Would you like, where's the thought bubble? These are some of Jessica's thoughts on doing nudity. Mm. I don't care how dark and intellectual the role could be, you know? I don't care if I freaking get an Oscar for it. Is that a, do you think
that's
that
an option?
Is she in danger of that?
No, she's not.
I'm not going to do it. Those accolades mean nothing to me. She sounds like she thinks she's in serious danger of getting a dark intellectual role, which would win her an Oscar. I don't think people deserve to see what's underneath my clothing. That's only for my next husband. Ha, ha, ha.
That your next wrote, husband.
Ha, ha, ha. Wow.
Right. Hmm. In a long series of husbands? Is this what?
I don't think
okay,
she's
on being herself. I don't care if the cameras are on or not. You're not going to get the real me. There's no reason. You're going to get the real me. Pardon me. There's no reason to mask that because that's what's given me the chance to be in a powerful position.
She's powerful?
What?
Superficial writes, and that powerful position includes the ability to fart at will during business meetings.
Yes.
It's amazing she's not president.
There's a news story about how her mother was upset at her because she farted during a business meeting.
Yes. But just a girl fart.
In her defense, right? In her defense, her diet must be atrocious.
It's all that chicken of the sea,
right? And it's I think it's probably one of the side effects of some of the drugs she's on that her doctor prescribes her.
Allegedly,
right? Allegedly prescribed.
17 minutes after the hour, more celebrity stack as we continue. Oof. I'll warn you now, Chris, it involves Snooki.
Oh, God, no.
It is Snooki related.
Right.
It is.
I'm in New Jersey this weekend. That's very frightening. I'm at the Stress Factory this weekend, and I'm very afraid they're going to show up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
You
more
want
hump
piece
days
of
with
me?
Hal and celebrity stack as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
How fast could your business take off if it was featured by me in an upcoming LegalZoom spot? Stay tuned. February is National Start Your Business Month, and LegalZoom is making it simple and affordable to start your business and take it to the next level. Whether your business is just getting off the ground, a work-from-home, or already thriving business, chances are you need some important legal documents. Maybe it's time to incorporate or file a DBA, or maybe you want a trademark. LegalZoom can save you a bundle on virtually any legal document. If you completed at LegalZoom this month, you could be featured in an upcoming LegalZoom spot. Plus, when you incorporate or form an LLC through LegalZoom this month, you'll get a free website design and marketing package, including domain name and hosting for 30 days. It's National Start a Business Month. Get moving with LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. February is National Start a Business Month. For even more savings, enter Stephanie at checkout. Go now, LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Stephanie Miller.
Down, down, down. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
When will Fred Schneider ever marry?
I would like to say...
He just hasn't found the right girl yet.
That sounds exactly like Steph when she talks about her dog.
That's right.
I know.
Andy Wilson.
Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello, hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering about this, thinking about this healthcare thing, and I'm wondering, you know, what if this is what the Republicans really want anyway? They would be able to claim victory if it gets voted down. They'll have crushed Obama, you know, and if it does get signed in, then they're going to claim victory because 90% of it is theirs. Would you buy a car that was 90% junk? Would you buy a pizza that was 90% eaten? You know, I think his only real option is to win the base back and stuff is to veto the bill when it comes before him. It just isn't good
enough.
Yeah,
that's not gonna happen. And no. And by the way, those elements that they would claim victory on, quite frankly, are the fairly centrist kind of normalized ideas. It's the stuff that they use as window dressing to get through the stuff that's really awful that they keep trying to push, like the privatization of Medicare and those kind of things. They use the idea that, you know, patients' rights and those kind of things as cover. They give them different names, but they really don't want them to pass. It's kind of like their record on anti-abortion stuff. They cultivate that group to vote for them all the time, but then they don't actually do anything about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. Who said, "I'm just trying to change the world one sequin at a time"?
Jack Webb.
I wish it had been me, but no, Lady Gaga. All right.
How did I know it was Lady Gaga?
Who I think is sexy, by the way, for the record.
One fart joke at a time. Yeah.
One disco stick at a time.
Exactly. Thank you. By the way, Annie writes, Steph, Hal's voice doesn't match his good looks. He sounds kind of like Uncle Arthur from Bewitched.
Really?
What? I don't
Uncle
think
Arthur
you sound like
Bewitched?
Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde.
I might have been trying to sound kind of like Paul Lynde at the time. I will change my voice occasionally if you get. That's why you should watch the live stream, because it's easier to know when I'm joking.
That's right.
All right. All right. It is the much-promised Snooki story. The superficial writes, turns out Snooki herself was probably behind the leaked nudes of Snooki. When orders of NakedSnooki.com
there's
didn't
a
get
website
their...
called NakedSnooki.com. Mm.
Actually, one picture was kind of hot. It's from a couple years ago.
When the owners of NakedSnooki.com didn't get their suit off for openly and still unsuccessfully trying to sell nude photos of Snooki, I pretty much assumed she was involved somehow. Jump forward to the past 24 hours when Snooki, under the auspices of trying to get back into her old shape, posted two bikini pics of herself on Twitter from conveniently the same time frame as the leaked nudes. I'm not saying this is definitive evidence, but it probably would have been less subtle if Snooki made a YouTube video of herself holding the nudes than five construction workers for a calzone.
Wow.
Apparently the paint colors match in the background of both pictures.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
What about the paint color on her skin? I mean, she's horribly
orange. Yeah, she's like bond.
She has a boneresque
exactly.
tint to her.
Yes, absolutely. All of those Jersey Shore kids do.
Yeah. It's like a Jersey caramel or something.
It's a specific kind of orange.
Yeah, they must have a name for it. Like you can go now to Sunset Tan and suggest it. Can I get Jersey Rouge?
Do you want some marmalade or do you want
exactly
the,
burnt sienna?
Can I get Italian candy apple? That's what I want. It's orangey and sheeny. It's got a nice sheen.
Delisted reporting. Charlie Sheen's wife Brooke Mueller has once again checked her crackhead ass into rehab for substance abuse. This is Brooke's, why bother counting? TMZ says Brooke shuffled off to the canyon in Malibu last Tuesday. It got to the point where even Charlie was telling her to go to rehab. Boy, you know when Charlie Sheen's telling you
Sheen's starting an intervention.
Yeah, someone was recently wielding a knife at you, allegedly, tells you need rehab.
That's
what says D-List is writing. Brooke's latest rehab stint could ruin the prosecution's case against Charlie Sheen. Brooke claims Charlie put a knife to her throat and threatened to offer. Mm. They both had the sweet nectar running through their veins at the time.
Yeah.
At this point, Charlie and Brooke should just drive their kids into the woods and let them be raised by wild otters. Or put them on Denise Richards' doorstep, ring the doorbell, and run away. Superficials.
Well, she definitely could nurse them. That's what I thought.
Oh,
Jiminy
Christmas.
Criminy. I saw that.
Carl, Mom, this milk tastes like silica.
Dude.
Carl Frisch was talking about this earlier. Anytime it snows in the winter, get all the right-wing science denier lunkheads will start talking about a global warming. Guess who else should be fired?
Who fired?
Their position as an amateur scientist. Donald Trump.
Right.
He said beauty pageant and casino owner Donald Trump has joined the parade of conservatives citing recent snowstorms to deny the reality of global warming. He called into question. He said Al Gore needs to give the they should take back his Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, boy. What an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we have to do the math every time for everybody? I mean, can we just, like, give everybody marching orders? Like, look, the concept of global climate change versus global warming, is as the poles start to heat up, which is where the warming part is bad, all that water starts to dissipate, get into the environment,
yes.
and anything water-related, snow or rain, becomes worse.
Right.
Hurricanes.
Let's blind you.
Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's blind you with science one last time with an interesting fun fact. Following the hottest decade on record, we are now in the hottest winter in the satellite record, and this past January was one of the hottest Januaries on record for the planet.
So clearly it's a hoax.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Science
is
a liberal bias.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Lions and Tigers and Stripper Mobiles, oh my, as we continue
yummy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
3 minutes of sex and a lifetime of regret.
34 minutes after the hour, we are in the Hump Days with Hal Sparks here on the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, Chris, here's something for Mama next time this whole thing goes awry. If history is any guide,
okay,
it will at some point, this whole radio thing.
Yes.
Stripper mobile. I could go back to my days of the itchy kitty at Reseda and Reseda, except go mobile.
That was 40 years ago that you did that. You don't have the...
Wait, I beg your pardon. In 90 days, I will. After P90X, it'll be stripper pole ready.
Hold on. My math it serves me right. That's illegal, 40 years. I don't. That's not possible that she was working at the itchy kitty 40 years
thank
ago.
You,
sorry.
Al.
Thank you,
Al.
Yes.
I think maybe we should do this for our station appearances. Perhaps we should go in a stripper mobile. Deja Vu, a gentleman's club, has started driving what it calls the stripper mobile around town. The stripper mobile, a large truck with plexiglass sides featuring stripper pole and dancers inside, a little peep show on wheels. Everybody's taking pictures and running up and screaming and trying to get on the bus and throwing dollars inside. It's actually very exciting, said one of the strippers. Bree. That one. I'm sure you know who
she is. Oh, she's good.
She's good.
Yeah. The stripper mobile was originally driven in Vegas until local leaders there put the brakes on the vehicle last November.
Wait a minute.
It's too sleazy for Vegas?
It's too sleazy.
So they sent it to Tampa.
Okay.
I've been to both places. That makes total sense.
Really? Tampa's a sleazy town?
Well, it's not sleazy. It's just a little more stripper friendly. I'm not going to.
I have many strippers named Camembert.
They put you to sleep.
All right. So the Democrats, by the way, dodged a bullet, I guess, what they're saying politically in Indiana. Remember yesterday I was saying there was some, they were afraid that, you know, somebody really obscure was going to make it onto the ballot because they only have till Friday.
Right.
According to the State Elections Division, no Democratic candidate other than Bai had collected the required signatures to get on the ballot. So that means that the Democratic Party will choose the candidate, which the Republicans are screaming like little babies about.
Right. Which also says to the progressives in Indiana, go to your party meetings. Start getting involved in that process because you might be able to tilt it in a very positive sense toward one way or another. I'm just saying, you should be involved anyways, but now's a really good time there.
Retiring Putitat, Senator Evan Bayh yesterday.
Ultimately, the American people ourselves need to decide that we care more about practical solutions and progress than we do about brain-dead ideology and partisan wrangling. That's what needs to happen. And, you know, I just simply reached the conclusion that for me at this time, I could do more to help people and make a better contribution to our society because Congress is just not working real well right now.
Yeah. Is there a Sarah Palin school of governing?
So we need more obstructionist Republicans. That's what we need.
Right.
So I think I'll quit now.
Exactly. Is there a Sarah Palin school of governance? Is there a learning annex class these people are taking?
And how to be a Twitter quitter?
Right, exactly. I'm done.
People are being mean.
You know what, though? At least
I don't love Congress anymore.
At least Evan Bayh is waiting until the end of his term.
There's no Sarah whining Palin in didn't Congress. Do
that. Right.
There's no crying. Senator Baez.
There's just too much brain-dead partisanship, tactical maneuvering for short-term political advantage rather than focusing on the greater good, and also just strident ideology. The extremes of both parties have to be willing to accept compromises from time to time to make some progress, because some progress for the American people is better than nothing. And all too often recently, we've been getting nothing.
Wait.
If we could just get watered down bipartisan gruel
right.
on every single subject, the left, that would be better.
We the just left let the Republicans do everything.
Right. The left has been compromising.
Right.
All the obstructionism and all the boneheaded ideology that he's talking about has come strictly from the right. There's
mm-hmm.
the problem with Obama's poll numbers and Congress's poll numbers in many ways is that they're not doing enough of
right.
the progressive stuff. The American people are actually pissed about that part of it. And now he's going to go, I'm going to get caught up in this and have to vote.
If you look at issue after issue, Hal,
right.
we're a center-left country.
Yeah.
We're
no
not
question.
A center-right country.
No question. Because people are a lot more empathetic about their fellow man than the right would like to be.
I think Bai just was tired of pretending he's not working for the insurance
yeah,
industry.
Yeah, exactly.
So go ahead and just do it out in the open.
Yeah. And you can't
take. Can't I just give up the ghost on that, for God's sakes?
And Obama's new lobbying rules, especially the ones that haven't gone into effect yet, might have affected how he could do
so,
business.
And by the way, much like Sarah Palin, is quitting the job before what qualifies you to be president? Because who was there a groundswell for Evan Bai for president? And I don't know.
I've tried that before, as you know, and fortunately I'm back on my medication now and not thinking about
so you absolutely rule out there are no circumstances under which you'll run for president as a Democrat or an independent in 2012?
None whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I do not actually think he's going to do that. I really do think he's doing extra political stuff because he sees that's where the power is. I think he's as corporate as he's ever been, and now he's
right.
just the mask has come off. There's no he's done enough good for the corps that he can go get
right.
you know he can get work
get
now
his reward,
get
yeah.
paid a lot
yeah.
more money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make that much as a senator, but he made a lot of sweet deals while he was in there, and he hamstrung what he was supposed to hamstring. He knows the bill's going to go through on multiple votes, so he's made his friends and he can get out before having to vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem is Tamara DiPolito, she was the sort of obscure candidate, a restaurant
mm-hmm.
owner that you know they were afraid, oh my God, what if she gets in, because they
right.
were afraid she didn't have a chance of winning, you know, and she made a good point yesterday.
The American people are very impatient, and we want changes, and we want them as quickly as possible. I think they can be done, but it's going to take some new voice and new leadership in Washington, D.C. to get the job done.
But that's the problem, though, is people like her are going to have a hard time because, you know, you're right.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have someone, you're absolutely right, Hal, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously buys in bed with corporations, and
right.
that's where he got the money to get elected all the time,
right.
you know?
Exactly. The nice thing is that, you know, we're really getting down to old-fashioned bare-bones politics in a lot of these places because nobody's got any money. So it's like, you know, Indiana's like Michigan in a lot of ways. The businesses there have been hit really, really
mm-hmm.
hard because of the Chicago School of Economics and the Republican, you know, style of the economics since Reagan. And right now, like, there's a chance that somebody
populist
progressed.
There's only one
answer. Progressed.
There's
yes.
only one answer. Say it with me. Three words. Senator John Mellencamp. Ain't
Senator,
that America?
Yes.
I think
yeah.
so. Little pink houses for everybody.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard from John Mellencamp about that proposal. I'd be interested to see
yeah.
what he says about that.
Stephanie Miller Show spitballing. Ben in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, thank you very much. I got to say thank you for single-handedly, you know, dismantling the private sector insurance in California. You know, with that 34% insurance rate hike. Is that what you guys
yes.
are dealing with right now?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully they'll go out of business in California, and then the only option will be a single-payer system, and then you'll show the rest of the country that it can work.
That it's possible. Like, well, quite frankly, you know, Hawaii's been pushing in that direction for a long time. Massachusetts even has, you know, a version of it that's, you know, that's very popular, and going even further down that road seems to be even more popular. The only thing that keeps it from happening is this, you know, is the lobby money and the people that are in there to, you know, literally trying to stop it because it would be popular, because it would work so well.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. But
yeah.
my question is, will Schwarzenegger push for buying insurance across state lines now?
Yeah. things of this nature.
Yeah, because he's enough of an
Maybe
egotist.
Maybe not across state lines, but things of that nature.
That's right.
But at the very least, I think he's going to do some populist things as he goes out the door so that people don't hate him, because he's really kind of People hate him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really bad now. And so hopefully he'll come around to that part. Maria can talk some sense into him.
Oh, gosh, Jim. Remember, it seems like only yesterday when he was doing his first movie catchphrases and we were all like, oh, that's hilarious.
I'm going to terminate.
Hasta la vista, Gray Davis.
Ah, I'm going to terminate the death.
Terminate the deficit and things of this nature.
Right. And then also referring.
I'll be back.
Referring to
get
people.
Get it, because I was in a movie.
Referring to people in the legislature as girly men when some of them were actually women.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jim, you remember there was a period there where he ran out of his own movie catchphrases and he just started throwing out other people's, which was odd.
Oh, God, how do we do that?
Wait, but that's from Alien Nation. That was a James Bond line. What?
Wait, that was from Terms of Endearment.
Right.
Hey.
You can't. That's not fair.
What? Even
now he's quoting Monty Python. Wait a second.
I want you to get my daughter her medication. Ah, these kinds of things.
Give my daughter the shot.
To give it a shot. The things of this nature. And I'm not talking about steroids for change.
Yeah. But he ruined every line by having to add things of this nature at the end.
Right. It's a qualifier.
That's God is my witness.
I could have been a contender.
I would never go hungry again and these kinds of things. I could have been somebody, Charlie. You was my brother and these kinds of things.
You're my knight in shining armor and things of this nature.
And things
all right. Mary in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, hi.
Hi, Mary.
I just wanted to kind of respond to the logical idiocy of the people who say that because we're having snowstorms on the East Coast, there's no such thing as climate change. Well, does that mean that the very first day we have a very hot summer day, that means there is climate change?
Yeah,
because
right.
Because a very hot day means
It was 80 in L.A. yesterday.
Well, I'm remembering.
I have friends from L.A. calling that are wearing less and less things every day.
Awesome.
Me about it.
I'm remembering the record-breaking highs we had where in France people were dying from
Chicago
heat.
Too.
So, therefore, if the mood of the moment weather-wise means whether there is climate change or not, then this summer there's going to be climate change for these people.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. Thank you, Mayor.
It's just some kind of liberal conspiracy.
Yeah.
They're putting big mirrors over the planet to make it look like it's heating up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They're
not leaving trails in the sky to create clouds for no reason.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went conspiracy for a moment with Jim. We were sharing it.
Oh, boy.
Pardon you. All right, that conspiracy sausage brought to you by Hump Days with Hal. All right, the good news is the president can pronounce nuclear properly.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is nuclear energy.
He wants
energy.
More nuclear plants.
We'll
don't know what to
that.
Do with the spent rods we have now.
Ooh, that sounds dirty.
Spent
when you
rods.
Say.
You like that?
I have an opinion on that. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Mama likey. Be back with Hal and Jim and both of their spent rods.
Verbal groping across the country.
As we continue on Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, sometimes I get the feeling deep down inside. And it says,
Stephanie Miller. Falls asleep at 7.
Actually, I'm up to 9 here.
Ooh,
in New York.
Really?
I'm a party
wow.
girl now. Yeah. Mm. 50 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. You can video stream every Wednesday on halsparks.com.
Yeah.
Hal will be in studio with Mama, so Mama will be acting all slutty on camera next week.
Yes, it's true. And we'll try to keep the sexing of the camera to a minimum. Because last time you really went off the chain. I mean, perhaps it's good for ratings. I think so, but I don't know, long term, you know.
Jim Ward acting slutty, not the same somehow?
No, not at all. No.
Doesn't do the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
And Hal is going to be appearing in New Jersey this weekend.
It's true. That's why I'm coming your way. I'm at the Stress Factory this weekend in New Brunswick.
A lot of people disappear in New Jersey.
That's
I'm just
true.
Saying.
Jim Ward and I can tell the story. When we were filling in for Imus on MSNBC out in Secaucus,
mm-hmm.
we went for a walk in the parking lot because that's the only thing we could get to because we were boxed in by the
turnpike.
And we saw a pair of shoes, didn't we,
Yeah,
Jim?
Just the shoes.
and a body of water beyond it.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh boy.
Hey, while you're going, you're not going to need those shoes.
Somehow thinking that didn't end well. I don't know.
We got some shoes for you, made special.
Sure, it isn't one of those things where they leave a pair of shoes because this is where, you know, Uncle Goomba died, you know, 10 years ago. This is where we know he disappeared. So every year we come down and we put a real pair of shoes because he died with cement on. And so it's sort of a, you know, in our family, it's symbolic. It's a history thing, you know.
Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kim.
As far as Evan Bayh goes, so long, sucker.
Right.
I get the feeling.
Bye.
I just get the feeling that he likes it all nice and gentlemanly, like gentlemen who compromise. The problem is, if the Democrats compromise anymore, there's not going to be a Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. We've compromised to the point where some of us are dry heaving every day.
Thank
so
you. All right.
That so long. Have a nice, you know, I hope his golf game gets better, and let's get to work.
Absolutely.
Right.
It
Thank
should.
You.
He'll be golfing with Monsanto. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of bipartisanship, so the president has extended a nuclear olive branch to the Republicans. It gave him a chance to talk about clean energy and creating jobs, but perhaps most importantly at this moment in his presidency, the nuke plant serves as an olive branch of sorts to Republican leadership that has long backed domestic nuclear power. The
I'll
president.
Tell you, okay.
To meet our growing energy needs and prevent the worst consequences of climate change, we'll need to increase our supply of nuclear power. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Hal.
Well, technically, he is correct. If we are going to shift off of fossil fuels, most of even like our hydrogen would have had to have been made with fossil fuels. The question becomes, where's the technology for creating a way to store the waste and keep it, and dispose of it in a way that's more technologically advanced? The Chinese are already working on it, and they're actually getting a lot better at it. The problem is they don't have as big an issue with it. They'll just bury it someplace and kind of not care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't, well, no so one our did. Technology will be superior if we keep pushing it. We just haven't built a new plant in so long. That it
right.
hasn't
but
advanced.
You know, he made the point it remains our largest source of fuel that produces no carbon emissions.
Right.
But
there is that. But there's also other kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knows spent rods like Jim Ward. Jim.
Well,
right.
But there's also the issue of heating the water when they cool down the reactor. Mm-hmm. They heat up the oceans just as part of their. Yeah,
it depends on where they're put, yes.
Yeah.
And the water that's used has to have a source to go as well.
Right.
But again, that is an issue that we can deal with technology as a transitioning element. And it is something that over a 10 or 20-year plan mm-hmm. is going to be part of that transition away from oil.
And then there's the issue of terrorist attacks, too.
Yes.
They're a big fat target.
Right.
As someone that grew up near Three Mile Island in the 70s, and I know you've told me you can help me with that hump, Pat.
Perhaps I can help you with that hump.
Oh, I can help you with your hump.
Oh, dog.
King.
My hump.
Your pelvic tilt, as it were.
Here's the problem, again, with bipartisanship. Obama expects cooperation from Republicans in his effort to make sure that companies pay a higher cost for emitting carbon pollution, one of the key concepts of his stalled cap-and-trade energy plan.
Mm-hmm.
He said Republicans who advocate for nuclear power have to recognize we will not achieve a big boost in nuclear capacity unless we also create a system of incentives to make clean energy profitable. As long as producing carbon pollution carries no cost, plants that burn fossil fuel will be more cost-effective than nuclear plants.
Well, one of the other issues, though, is micronuclear, which is the direction they're going as well. That a lot of the plants they're going to be talking about are kind of these ready-to-build plants that have been sitting for a long time.
Right.
But the truth is the direction of nuclear is really going micronuclear, according to, like, Wired Magazine and Scientific American and all these, you know, that's actually been following the future of what it is. It's smaller units with non-weaponizable waste. And that technology is what they're trying to drive people towards. The problem is right now, if any country in the world wants a big nuclear reactor, they're going
to
build
the
old...
it's better to have a smaller unit if you're going to ultimately have a spent rod.
Spent rod.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely, because it won't be missed.
You know, I'm really just waiting for the joke over here. I'm not even listening to the science. The president yesterday.
Right.
There will be those that welcome this announcement, those who think it's been long overdue. But there are also going to be those who strongly disagree with this announcement. The same has been true in other areas of our energy debate, from offshore drilling to putting a price on carbon pollution. But what I want to emphasize is this. Even when we have differences, we cannot allow those differences to prevent us from making progress.
Yeah. Exactly. And I, you know, what we've stalled that technology in the worst possible version of it. The idea that we could eventually have cleaner reactors and stuff went away totally when the move away from it, you know, started. So, you know, I see where he's going, and I don't think this is simply an olive branch to the Republicans. I think this is a, you know, a legitimate form of gunning for cap and trade, because the nuclear guys are all about shifting their bill for pollution. Mm-hmm. And that type of legislation has already been in place, too, for a long time.
All right. Let's go skip to the war on terror, because do we have Chris, cut nine. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me that the president is making good on fighting a tougher but smarter war on terror. Mm-hmm. We just caught this top Taliban guy, Robert Gibbs, on that.
This involves very sensitive intelligence matters. This involves the collection of intelligence, and it is best to do that and not to necessarily talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unlike the security strategy.
We got him! We got him! We got him! He's over here. We got him. Yeah.
And this is how he got him.
The Homeland Security policy espoused by Steve Doocy of the Fox and Freaks. All the people who tried to blow airliners out of the sky pretty much look alike, don't they?
Oh, God.
Yeah, moron.
You know what? The Christmas Day bomber and Richard Reed look absolutely nothing alike.
He was talking about his wife. She gets searched even though she doesn't look like what we presume people who want to blow up airplanes look like. That's. I believe he had an expert on that kind of set him straight on that. He said, expert said false, and he said false information. The last guy, we don't have to go far. The last guy that had to take down a plane was a young African. That prior to that, we're looking for a Middle Eastern-looking man. Next time, it could be an Asian guy. So they don't always look alike.
Mm-mm.
He said, he pointed out Richard Reed is half Jamaican, half British, and the two infamous would-be airline bombers in American country look nothing alike.
Right.
So. And they certainly don't look anything like Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or any of these nudniks who are shooting people out their doorways. You know.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it for us. Go to see Hal Sparks and Joyzy this weekend. And join us tomorrow morning again on The Stephanie Miller Show.